With less than 2 hours left before the arrival of the much-heralded D-Day, 2,056 508 soldiers were airborne. When I straddled to the plane steps, carrying about 75 pounds of equipment, I found I could not climb up without someone pulling me up and pushing from behind. The first machine gun fire seemed unreal, the glowing bullets rising very slowly at first and then snapping by with a rush. Every shot seemed to be headed directly at us. 20-millimeter shells snapping nearby seemed to fill the sky, compounded by the heavier crunch of flak bursts. When the jump master shouted, "Let's go!" there was a brief shuffle for the door, a moment of suspense, and the helpless feeling of floating calmly and uncontrollably into the German fire. Although I descended very quickly from about 500 to 600 feet and at 17 feet per second, I was constantly pulling in my risers to change directions because of the blue and amber traces which seemed to be licking at my feet. I crashed through a small apple tree for a three-point landing, feet, rear end, and head. Using my Boy Scout knife taken from a zipper slot on my jacket front, I cut my main chute straps off. After hiding my chutes and supplies, I reconnoitered the dark and noisy area framed by hedgerows. I met no one for a while, and as I was walking slowly along a hedgerow, I detected a soldier with rifle poised before him, walking directly at me. He was silhouetted by a partial moon behind him. I was totally in the dark. Since the 508 and another airborne had orders not to fire their guns that night, but use knives and bayonets to dispatch the enemy, any soldier firing would betray himself as a German. I decided to challenge him with the password, "Flash," to which he should reply, "Thunder." I could not be too deadly or accurate with a morphine serrette or my scout knife, so I unsheathed the trench knife or dagger issued to me and waited till he was nearly on me. Kneeling with my dagger poised at my right foot, blade up, I said, "Flash." Response was rather slow, but he said, "Thunder," finally. He was awfully scared, a new replacement to the regiment. I felt safer by myself, so I sent him along and continued probing the confines of my hedgerow area. I found a large culvert, but upon entering it, I could not even see my hand in front of my face, so I retreated. I read my compass again and went off on another tangent. Finally, I heard noises inside nearby hedgerows and went to investigate. The noises seemed to be made by heavy boots springing on broken pieces of wood. I placed myself at the edge of an opening in the hedgerow, and when the steps came close to me, I said, "Flash!" No answer, so I lashed out and up at the intruder. I hit nothing, and to this day I believe I must have challenged the cow. If she had moved then, I would have taken off like a rocket and still be circling Normandy. An hour or so later, I was challenged myself by Lieutenant Lehman, who had preceded me out the door as number one man. When we were cautiously moving out, just before dawn, he ordered a group of us to hit the ground. Unfortunately, one of our men fell too close to Lehman with his bayoneted rifle at an angle, and the blade entered just below his jaw, severing a facial artery. Of course, profuse bleeding followed. I was able to apply a hemostat, but with subsequent movement in the brush, the two-piece hemostat flew off, never to be found. So I applied a Carlisle dressing, which was too bulky and soft to stop the flow of blood. Then two medics, Corporals Frank Kwasnik and Frank Ruppe, and I fanned out in different directions to locate a medical bundle, which Kwasnik did find in about 30 minutes, and brought me some plasma. Unfortunately, I had no way to hook the plasma bottle up, so I had to hold it up myself with my arm extended while German snipers kept peppering me in the bottle with shots. Fortunately, they missed and were soon routed out and killed. We then brought Lehman out with a few other wounded to a farmhouse barn. After being there an hour or so, I noted some German soldiers coming down a nearby field toward us. I could not leave my wounded, so I waited. Soon the open barn was raked with rifle and Schmeisser fire. I stuck my Red Cross painted helmet on a long pole and pushed it out the door. They stopped firing and came in to capture us. The medic and I put Lehman on a litter and carried him over hill and dale to a German aid station with him, where we medics were treated as friends by the German medical personnel. From there, we were transported to a field hospital, the 91st Feld Lazarett. Their surgery was in a close-by chateau, Hauteville-le-Bocage, all this being in Orglande. We were placed on a wooden barrack with single and double bunks and straw mattresses. A steady stream of American casualties were brought in that day, leaving me no time to eat or rest. So, at midnight, I was just giving first aid, since all we had were our first aid kits. A Catholic priest, who was a sergeant in the German army and in charge of scheduling in the surgical suite in the chateau, proved to be a godsend in enabling us to rush a few American wounded in for definitive surgery.